eternity where there is no time. Nothing can grow, nothing can become. Nothing changes. So death created time to grow the things that it would kill. And you are reborn, but into the same life that you've always been born into. I mean, how many times have we had this conversation, detectives? Well, who knows? And you can't remember your lives. You can't change your lives. And that is the terrible and secret fate of all life. You're trapped. Like a nightmare you keep waking up into.
The sun is filled with ice and gives no warmth at all. The sky was never blue. The stars are raindrops searching for a place to fall. And I never cared.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And unfortunately, this is Douglas.
Yes, we had to wake Douglas up. He fell asleep because he was a dumbass and didn't sleep.
Andrew, when you get to that certain age, you don't sleep a lot.
Are you going to take that, Douglas? You're going to take that line down.
He's too tired.
As much as I'd love to be able to defend that line, you're doubting me. There was a good, like, six-month stretch there where I'd essentially walk into the house from work, go to the room, and just drop on the bed and fall asleep, yeah. So, I don't think I have any legs to stand on. So, sure, David, go ahead.
I'm a grown-ass man, dog.
This week, Damien decided to assault our senses with the Bill Paxton directed banger from 2001.
Oh my God, it's
Frailty.
Magic.
You hadn't even heard me out yet, and already you doubt me.
They were raised to obey their father.
Go do some homework.
To love him. To trust him.
Night, boys, sleep tight.
Don't let those bed bugs bite.
Until.
Wake up, I've got something to tell you.
Hey, what's wrong?
There are demons among us. I can see the demons while other people can.
I'm scared.
Why don't you tell us what this movie is about and why you think it is the best movie of 2001?
Fine. The movie is about a man who's been visited by the Lord. And
they always start with like that.
Nothing bad ever comes of it. And the Lord says, there are bad people out there, as he always does, and you need to murder them. So it is essentially the prequel to Noah. And Bill Paxton has two sons, and he is trying to indoctrinate them into this demon murdering. One son is 100% behind the demon murders, and the other son thinks that his father is a crazy lunatic, which of course he does, because these demons are people and he's murdering them with an axe. And the movie is being told by one Matthew McConaughey. He's recalling to this sheriff these things that happened in the past, so he's telling this story, and the sheriff is becoming more and more intrigued. And as the movie progresses, you see where the son, who is having doubts about his father's abilities. And,
superpowers.
Right. And the Lord
his
speaking.
Fire swords.
Fire sword, right.
What if this was the movie that gave you all the fire swords you wanted?
Did you notice that there was actually a fire sword in this movie? I remember watching this and being like, holy shit. Look at this.
Yeah,
this
is what they meant. This drops movie. And bad things happen, I'm going to jump up and down. And so as the movie goes on, you realize that there's something not quite right with both the storyteller and the story. And then it all culminates in the end. With something that I found oddly satisfying. I actually really, really like this movie. And I'm not sure if it is because I was told by my other two podcast hosts that this movie sucks, despite them not actually watching this movie.
When did I tell you this?
When I sent out the first email, you're like, word? Should we really be doing this? I'm like, wait, what? Like, Douglas, have you seen this? And I was like, no. Job.
I don't know. I think I just made fun of the way you said something. And you just took it that way. You were like, are you telling me bad things about my movie? I'm like, no, I'm just making fun of you.
Okay. And so, between that and I saw Andrew on Cristiano Ronaldo's birthday. I mean, Champions League finals.
No. That's a golf match, right? Remember?
So happy to score 4-1. That guy's ego is going to block. I mean, I know how we're going to save ourselves from global warming. We're just going to have Cristiano Ronaldo stand on like a hilltop and we'll never see the sun again.
Wait, I thought we were just going to build a dome around the
holy
earth
shit
and turn on the AC.
Well,
global warming.
But if we can't do that, Ronaldo's ego will do a fine job replacing
this dome.
Oh
it's
my god. And I saw Andrew on Saturday, and Andrew's like, this movie, holy shit. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, is it that bad? He's like, I think he said it's better or worse than Near Dark.
Oh, that would have been Andrew.
Yeah,
I remember
right.
Andrew was making some sort of argument like that to me the other day.
Yeah, I'm like, that's like the lowest bar you can. Better than being peed on. Like, alright, I guess. What are you talking about? And so I sat down
it
to watch this movie.
It is preferable to be pissed on.
I sat down to watch this movie. I'm like, this is going to be some Near Dark type horseshit. And then sat down like, no, this is like a normal movie for human.
It's so I see why you're really liking it now, because you had this low bar, and then all of a sudden it jumped over the bar.
I thought I was going to be assaulted.
I was assaulted.
You're a bad person. I watched a movie though, and there's nothing outside of the general premise of the movie, by the end of the movie, you go, all right, fine. There's nothing that weird about what is happening in the movie. This guy is a lunatic that thinks he can see demons, and one of his children agrees with him, and the other one realizes that he's lost his goddamn mind.
And we're seeing the story through the normal child.
Right! Right, and we're seeing the story through the non-lunatic.
Exactly, the child who, when somebody, his father included, says to him, there are demons and we're going to kill them, says, hold on a moment.
Yeah. Son, I don't know if you understand how this works, but you're a murderer. And funny enough, the only person's acting that I did not like in this movie was Matthew McConaughey. Everybody else played their part superbly.
Really?
Not
like
until the end. At the end of the movie, it all
was,
made sense.
You know what it was? He was just average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie.
By the way, I just want to call it out from now. I kind of want us to talk about spoilers on this movie.
No, we're going to do it. Because I want to break this one too.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, we need to take a while to talk about the movie like we would normally. Because I have some comments on that as well. But yeah.
And so, watching the movie followed a logical, there's nothing. I was expecting crazy nonsense like Near Dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that. And what I got instead was what I think is a good movie. And I see where there are certain problems with the movie, but I enjoyed the acting. The directing was fine for the most part, and the story that was told I think it's a pretty good story. And so, again, this, like, there's two things coloring my opinion. One, I chose this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And two, my co-host gave me shit. This is my perception.
Yeah.
I perceive them giving me shit about this movie before actually seeing the movie.
Oh, wow, Bill Paxton directed another movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which one?
Don't watch that one, though.
I've seen this movie.
Oh, which movie is this?
The greatest game ever played. The golf movie
golf
with Shia LaBeouf.
Yep.
He directed that?
Yup.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that.
That movie was not good.
So he's 1 for 7. Alright.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. I think I'll watch this movie again.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Golf joke.
So I want to go and talk about this movie before Andrew just completely, you know, rips it to pieces. The thing I was about this movie, and you kind of said it, Damien, is that it's alright. You know, it's not the greatest movie ever, and it's definitely not the most original movie ever. I kind of compare this movie. This movie is essentially The Usual Suspects, just with a different story, right? And the thing about it is, right, I was watching it the whole way through, and I was kind of hating on it for some reason, right? I didn't really like it. As you said, I'm like, so McConaughey's in this movie, but whatever, he's alright. And everything about this movie was just kind of alright, and just not that great. And the whole way through, up, even when I kind of came out of this movie, as I started to feel, you know, when you feel something deep down in your gut saying, fuck this movie, I started to feel that gut feeling. But I sat down and I thought about it to myself, and I was like, Douglas, why don't you like this movie? Is there any reason for it? And you know, I'm famously, I really don't generally do this, right? I usually am of the view that movies and, you know, things with moving pictures are for my entertainment, and I don't need to know why I do or don't like something, but if I just don't like it, it's the movie's fault. Right, and if I do, it is also
myself.
The movie's fault.
No,
exactly.
I'm a grown man.
Yeah, right. But I thought to myself, is there a reason why I don't like this movie? Is there something just wrong with me? And as I said to you, I kind of eventually I made that sort of connection where I said, hang on a second, this movie is The Usual Suspects. So what is so different? Because I love The Usual Suspects. That's one of my favorite movies ever. Right? Well, I don't know if I go that far, but I really enjoy that movie. And this movie, I was willing to you know, burn in the fires of all that is wrong with Matthew McConaughey, which honestly isn't really that much, but sure. And the more I think about the movie, I realize that, you know what? This movie may not be the best movie in the world, but it had essentially one thing that it wanted to do. It had one story it wanted to tell, and it told that story. And it may not have told that story the best way it could, but it told it pretty well. And, you know, I think my main problem with this movie is that I think from the get-go, it kind of sets itself up, right? It essentially says, all right, I know I want a big reveal, and I'm just going to... It's almost extremely self-aware. It's extremely aware of that fact that it's like, okay, this movie is all about the ending. And everything is just geared towards that, and the whole way through, you're like, something's happening here, mm-hmm. right? And then finally when it comes, you're like, but this happens all the time, and that's mm-hmm. I realize that's a problem that I had. I watched this movie the whole way through, and this is what 2001.
Yeah.
So even at the time, it wasn't like this movie was very novel. But you watch this movie, and you're like, but I've seen this movie a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I?
I know what's up.
Exactly. Right. But that's not the movie's fault. Just because, you know, it's not particularly original. Even though I think the particulars about the movie are, there's some originality to it, and that's
it's not like a straight ripoff.
Exactly. But
every rom-com you've ever seen.
You're right. You watch this movie and you're like, I've seen this movie 100 times. But, you know, some people, you hear this saying that, you know, it's cliche because it works. This is kind of like that. You know, it is a bit cliche in the sense that you've seen it so many times. And I think it kind of suffers a little bit for that. But if you sit down and you go through that kind of thought process and you're like, what did I like and what did I not like? And why should I either hate this movie, be indifferent about this movie, or love this movie? At least for me, when I went through that thought process, I was like, you know what?
I hate this movie because it's not this other movie that I love.
Exactly. This movie is kind of okay.
Shitty logic.
This movie, I would be willing to watch this movie again at least 2 more times to get that whole it gets better sort of effect. Which I think it will. And even the more I think about it, it's the more I kind of like this movie. I think I kind of like this movie. Yeah. So, Andrew, go ahead. Shit all over it now.
First of all, fuck you.
Second of all,
fuck that.
fuck this. And I'm out.
So, let me start with Douglas. You are perfectly right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this movie is that movie. Yeah. And how dare I come to this movie with... with
expectations.
Oh dear. Not with expectations, but with a feeling and understanding of what these kinds of movies are, and kind of reading this movie from like minute 1 to minute 100, knowing exactly what's going to happen, and blame the movie for it.
Mm-hmm.
How dare I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. However, at the same time, using that kind of logic is a kind of logic that makes every movie okay. Almost every movie. Cause, and I mean, here lies the
doesn't
thing.
Doesn't make action movies.
like I will go and I will say, sure, you turned in a okay result on the... Like, if this was an exam,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, alright, frailty, you pass. I can't fail you because you did these 5 things. But I don't really want to. You, I'm not going to give you extra marks. And the thing about it is,
but he tried his hardest.
But and here, and that's the other part about that's the other equation about it. I kind of wanted to, when I recognized, I saw it before I pressed play on this movie. I recognized the fact that this was a directorial debut, mm-hmm. and I always kind of go in with a sense of let me be easy on this one, right? Because it's his first time around. It feels like, even watching the movie when you were seeing a lot of the crazier aspects come out, like it felt like he wasn't quite sure how to represent it in an interesting manner. Because mm-hmm. you saw he did things like he would have the way he was communicated through God was he showed it through a light shining off of what I assume was a trophy, like
yeah.
a high school trophy of some
yeah.
sort.
Yeah.
And then even when we see him getting the weapons, which you were in hysterics
oh,
over,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Right? Like, and the movie does what all of these movies want to do, which is sow enough doubt into us as the
oh,
audience,
my God.
Into,
exactly.
into what yeah. is going on, that when the twist comes, that
twist.
We...
Damon, me and Andrew were fucking... we were in stitches... When, like, so Andrew's big thing about this movie was he feels sorry for Otis because he lost his. Where does Axe go?
He comes back next after
Let's
go.
Where's my.
Goddamn.
How do you know I left it here?
And my big thing was when he came back all excited about the lead pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so is this going to devolve into a whole argument of. He did it in the parlor with the lead pipe, and Colonel Mustard was the so me and Andrew are going crazy when this was
yep.
happening.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
But you know what though, this movie exactly, that's the thing. This movie engenders that
movie.
Because you're just like, you know, this guy's fucking crazy, and they do that very well. And as much as everybody can argue about Bill Paxton and either his skill or lack of skill in the acting department,
mm-hmm.
there's a bit of that where
the way he just normally goes about talking and delivering mm-hmm. characters helps this movie.
Yeah.
It helps you he's to think that he's movie. Crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't say he's perfect. He's but when you... Let me tell you.
Believe him as a lunatic.
No, yeah, that's the thing.
The entire time in this movie.
That's the thing, right? So Bill Paxton does really good for me to look at how he delivers himself and be like, something's wrong with you. You're crazy. But the other aspects of his character, he doesn't do very well in. But yeah, the way he just speaks, you're just like, I can't take you seriously. And I realize that's just how he speaks. That's not necessarily any added skill.
And magically he became a movie star. Someone was like, we're okay with that.
Exactly. But sorry to cut you, Andrew. So go ahead.
And I mean, I've spoken about this numerous times before, about a number of movies we've talked about. And my kind of disdain mm-hmm. for movies which are lying in the middle and refuse to leave there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't seem to try to... Like, I will go to bat for movies which aren't that good, but I can feel that they're trying to do something...
You should stop that. It's really annoying.
Right? This movie felt like he was like, alright, I understand how to make something a little bit insane and make you know that it's coming. We know the final turn in this movie is coming, and you're going to...
What is it?
And when it comes, you're going to be so disinterested because you're going to be so annoyed with the crazy parts that you're just going to be like,
M. Night Shyamalan presents.
It kind of is. I kind of would...
Except this movie is watchable.
I kind of would rank this twist in a M. Night Shyamalan ranking. Like, I'd throw it somewhere in the middle of his filmography and see where I drop it. So
at this point, I hate M. Night so much.
I think I'd put this somewhere in between Lady in the Water and The Village.
Like,
wherever that lies.
Even the movies that...
And remember, I don't like The Village.
Yeah, no. Even the movies that I would accept that are good movies, which none of his movies are at this point.
After Earth.
I just hate all his... It's just a blanket that I've thrown over him and his shitty movies. Garbage.
But at the same time, I want to go into the spoilers because there's something about the ending I really want to talk about. Is there anything else you guys want to mention before we...
Not generally, no. So, yeah, we can talk about spoilers.
So, if you haven't seen 2001's Frailty and you really care, just skip ahead.
First of all, you haven't.
Wait, hold on.
No one
is has. That like... Part 2 to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
It is, right? It's good actually part. what happens after his evolved self returns to the Earth and just makes it explode.
God, I hate that movie.
Part 2 of 2001 A Space Odyssey is actually the ending of Melancholia. It lasts only 2 minutes.
Okay.
I want you to retract that statement. I don't want you to align 2001 with that movie in any way, shape, or form. Because one movie is good. Another one is a train
wreck. I really want to watch that movie again, Melancholia, or those movies again. Because I...
You saw it once?
No, yeah, I've seen it the once when we reviewed it. I have a moral issue with disliking a Lars von Trier film. I don't see why I should.
Yeah. Can't come up with a good enough reason.
Yeah.
So talking about spoilers in Frailty, at the end of the movie, when the twist comes, it's not just the fact that, guess what, Matthew McConaughey was the son that believed it,
yeah.
not the son that didn't. But what? Also, we find out that all of this craziness was actually real.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, this one really believed it thoroughly. You can decide yourself.
Well, no, I think
I believe that it's real.
Exactly, say that it's real because, you know, there's this whole line of argument that Bill Paxton has and that eventually Matthew McConaughey has, which is, all right, fine, I understand. It really sounds crazy, but it's true, and as much as you can say to me, this don't make sense because of this, because of that, and you can't just kill people because you'll get caught.
Right.
And there's always this rebuttal of,
I'm on a mission from God, and since I am, God is going to protect me, right? You know, there's a lot of...
like the Blues Brothers.
Exactly. And there's a lot of, like, almost outside looking in sort of a feel to this movie where the son who you think you're viewing through, who essentially you are viewing through for this whole movie, is like, all right, daddy, listen. Sure, I know you're a murderer, but how is it that you... Let's forget that you don't realize you're a murderer for a moment.
Right.
How is it that you just kind of walk up in the middle of the day and just get away with
this? You're going about this
right?
the wrong way.
Exactly. And the father just looks at him and says, son, God will protect me. Right? The son is like, but these people saw you. God will protect me. And finally, in the end of the movie... You see that God protected him, right? You know, I almost said Nicolas Cage because this is kind of as ridiculous as Nicolas Cage gets.
Hey.
But McConaughey looks at an FBI agent in the face, shakes his hand, and goes on to murder his boss. And that FBI agent is like, I don't understand. I remember shaking his hand, but I couldn't tell you what he looks like. And then like all of the cameras that he even looks straight into. It's like, I remember when it happened and when they played back the tape, I thought to myself, this guy's name is Lynch, right?
Yeah.
Because essentially it was the A-team sort of thing where they're just like, okay, so we have tapes, but they are all broken.
Mm-hmm.
Every single
all
one.
All of them. With his face on it. All of them are broken.
And I like movies that do this, right? It's not just the twist, because the twist part, I could care less about. That was a part that aggravated me.
Exactly, because I'm sure it was fairly obvious to you,
felt
right?
it was coming.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Regardless of whether you guessed the right one or not, you could feel like the movie almost puts you in a position where you're like, just get to it already, so that I can get that over with, and we can figure out what to do after.
Yeah.
Right? And when it reveals the fact that all of it was true, You almost start to try and reassess the whole movie, right? And I like movies that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, something about the way that all of it was represented just felt off to me. I almost just wanted to reject it. Because you see things like Bill Paxton's, the thing where he touches them. And like it's not even at the end when you're seeing the thing come out, but when you see him and the person acting towards it, you're like, this can't work. this is probably the worst
shit I've ever seen.
The worst acting you've ever seen. And I have to give this movie points for that ending, for giving us that moment of reassessing the movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean I have to enjoy the first hour and 20 minutes.
And I understand you. And can I tell you, you know what I did like about the twist? As you said, I saw it coming the whole way, or at least my version of the twist was what I saw coming the whole way. I was like, I kept saying to myself, you know what? This fucker's really the crazy child, isn't it? Right? And it happened that he was really the crazy child. I think why this twist kind of works and, as you said, allows you to reassess this movie is not that... Oh my goodness, the reveal is that this guy is a killer and this guy is the crazy child. It's that not only is he crazy, the crazy child, but he's not crazy at all.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is actually a demon sorcerer.
Slayer.
And he is actually on a mission from God. God has protected him. Mm-hmm. And
the other child, the normal one, was turned out to be the crazy
one. Here's the only issue, the main issue the only issue I have with this movie. And it's more one of logic than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's not of enjoyment. The issue I have with this movie is fine, right? So you have a child that is deep in and is also a demon slayer, and you have a child that is not. And you say that the child is not because, you know, the trait just skipped him. Not because he's just not equipped. It's because he's also a demon. And I'm fine with that too. But if he's a demon, you have to tell me why, right?
They don't tell your wife or any of the other people.
No, they do. Yeah. Because one murdered their husband. The other one murdered his mother. The other one... like
killed that little girl.
Exactly. You can kind of look at all of these people.
But God's work.
No, no, hold on.
Because he killed his father. That is why...
No. But, so...
That is where it started. We can look at it that way. Using that as
the... All right, that's one way to look at it. And I can kind of see it there. But... as far as I'm concerned, he was called a demon before he did this, right?
Okay.
When his only sin was to think that his father was a lunatic, which
and he repeatedly tried to actively stop him from doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
Went to the police and said, "Police."
He was non-godly.
Yeah, but like
he would. Did he set a trap or something?
It was an obstruction of justice.
Right.
fine, but like. So if I'm God, right?
Let's not do this.
No, that's not. I know, but if I'm God,
did you play Black and White? I love that game.
And I said to one person, you need to kill a bunch of folks.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it's going to look to the outside world, but you need to do this. And then one guy just isn't down with that, and he's like, "Guy, you're killing all of these people." That other one isn't a naughty person. That other one is actually kind of. The better person
but
in this scenario.
But you explain to him why you're doing it.
No, you haven't.
You must have faith in your father
which
and
is,
the Lord.
Which is right. And okay, so let's get beyond that. Let's say that
you feel better. If you better say that.
So much better. No, let's even say that, alright, he wasn't a demon yet.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes a demon when he kills his father.
So you're a demon.
Right? No. You're really going to tell me that... me, how old am I? Like maybe 9?
Yeah.
Is that how old this guy is?
Yeah.
The normal son?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 9.
He looks more 12-ish.
Ooh, gives a shit.
And you as a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You as a parent lock me in a shed for what appeared to be like almost a month with zero food and one glass of water per day.
I mean, that's
first of all, how do I live? Because
God,
that must
God,
happen,
God,
right?
So
of course, but second of all, I, the 9-year-old, come out of that the other side, and decide that my captor, that my kidnapper, the person who has put me through this hardship,
his father,
deserves to die. Which, guess what? He kind of does. Alright? At this point.
On a mission.
Alright? And then, that one act puts you in the demon doghouse.
Yeah, the murder in your father.
Justice.
The murder in your father who is on a mission from God put you in the doghouse.
The father who essentially murdered you. And kept
but
in,
he
anyway,
didn't murder
anyway,
him.
Right?
The commandment says
out,
obey
and
your
he
father.
He said, "Did God talk to you?" And he said, "Yes, the Lord hath spoken to me." And then he lied to his father another sin.
You realize? Hold on. You realize a lot of people think that God speaks to them, and they do a
and
lot
that is why
of
I like
bad
it.
Things.
That is why I
and
like this movie.
Yeah, and that's exactly that's why
that's
I think this movie works.
Why I like this
because
movie.
Because you can you just keep going back
you
and
go,
forth. You're like,
this is what
really.
Right.
Really?
Like, that is why I love the ending of the movie. Because you go... or even if... what the person... like, even if the person was actually talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if God was actually protecting these people.
Yeah.
From the outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
You are in lunatic.
I love that this is the third film I'm seeing this year. About people being spoken to from God. And everyone around them calling them a lunatic.
Turns out, if you say that the Lord is speaking to you and change your behavior, people are going to look at you different.
There's this.
Unless you're inside of a church, then you're fine. If God speaks to you and you're in church, you're all good. It's free and clear.
Depends on what the message is.
Nope, it doesn't. Especially if it's the Catholic Church. Do whatever you feel like. God said I must rape young boys. Alright. It's a shit. God says stop her. I like the whole premise. I like the ending of the movie. It was just it was just fun to watch. And even though, I mean, from let's say 10 minutes into this movie, I went, I know what's going to happen at the end of this movie. And I was at 98% right. Yeah. But it didn't matter, because I enjoyed spending it. I don't know why you didn't enjoy the first 120 minutes of this movie. I enjoyed watching all of that. I enjoyed watching him and his brother and the father deal, like, kind of move through the steps going, yeah, this is what crazy looks like. This is how crazy people justify their lunacy. I enjoyed that part. And then when the movie ended, I went, yeah, all right, movie, fine. And the movie that this movie reminds me most of, in terms of how I felt after watching the movie, is Young Victoria. Where, yeah, I had seen, like, there's nothing original in the Young Victoria. Nothing at all. But they did it so well that by the end of it, I went, I like this movie. I like this movie a lot. And that's the same thing that happened here. Nothing. Nothing about this movie. There are far superior versions of this movie. Take Shelter will be this movie any day of the week. In terms of crazy, man seeing visions and being crazy, and you wonder at the end whether it was crazy or not. And final take Shelter over this, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy this. I enjoy this movie a lot. Like, this movie is like a strong 3 creeping towards a 4. I really did enjoy this movie. But I need to watch it again. Now that I know that what the movie is, and now that I know what to expect from this movie, I want to wait a little and then come at it again fresh, where I don't have any doubts in my mind from lunatics.
You mean me?
No, are him you? Him too.
Okay.
And I can just come and know that I respect McConaughey again, because he's finally in good movies. I can come back and watch this and go,
like, watching this movie, it felt like a movie you would have seen as a movie of the week on cable. That's, yeah, how I felt about it.
Yeah. That's, you're not wrong.
I can see that.
Yeah. This is the movie channel. Like, the movie channel would be like, this is the movie you're watching this week.
Yeah.
McConaughey and Paxton in nonsense.
But no, this movie, what this movie did really well for the first hour, or on, well, most of the movie, yeah, essentially, yeah, was that it gave you one view.
And it's short.
And it is short, like, right? It gave you one view. It gave you the view from the normal son, right? It gave you the view that this person is crazy, and here are all the reasons why, and you absolutely agreed with that, mm-hmm, movie. And I think why immediately I was like, fuck this movie, and I had to kind of reassess, was because, not because, as I said in the end, all of a sudden things change, but it's because it tries to tell you that, no, guess what? You're the crazy person. And you're just like, what?
It's like Fargo and a postal. But if you're right and they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what this movie does really well. Mm-hmm. One kind of getting you to hate yourself, or not hate yourself, but reassess and be like, fuck you guys, at the end of this movie. And two, just something as simple as the simple-mindedness of how this movie is presented to you for the whole first 80% of it. Like, that's, there's something special about that. And you know, I'm sure there are a lot of hints. This is very much like a Fight Club movie, where, as Damian says, now that you know what the deal is, you can go back, and I'm sure you can see all sorts of hints to this. But, like, simple things in the way that when Bill Paxton touches these people, mm-hmm, and, you know, you, all three of us, when we were watching it, we're like, look at this guy.
Oh, my God.
This guy really thinks that he's seeing something.
This is incredible. Right?
But, shit, you know, I wonder how that plays differently.
Acid does a lot of...
I wonder how differently that plays now that we know. He actually did see something. You know, and you're like, So, like, yeah, I kind of really like this movie.
I like it. And Andrew staring at me won't change it. I'm not afraid of you. Demon.
Uh,
Well, at least for two of us, I guess the streak is over. The streak of shit is just, we've been on this terrible, we've been watching so much Diaries.
It's the question, boy, it's the question.
Moving on into questions. Last week, with us discussing the Interstellar trailer and us, our general can't waitness for seeing another Christopher Nolan movie. I think the word is anticipation, but
not,
I didn't think nope, about that while I was talking.
I'm
and
going
we're
to see a can't
waitness.
We, I decided to ask people.
Submit it to Webster's.
I remember to reference me when you do it. Nope. Just give me the credit. we asked people about what their favorite films that take them out into space is, and the internet responded. I have.
Lost in Space.
No one said Lost in Space.
You're goddamn right.
I'm sad to say no one said Lost in Space.
No, you're not.
Marcel at Destiny Freak responded with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or the new Star Trek series. David doesn't seem on
these
Hitchhiker's
Guide? Really? There are people
that Hitchhiker's
Guide
to the Galaxy.
What? There are people that like that movie.
What movie?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No, it's not live. That's why I'm laughing.
They saw Mos Def and didn't bother to watch hers. Rand McNeil from over at the
Yasin Bey.
Yes. Rand McNeil from over at the Matinee responded with, "If we have to be in space," he's going to be boring and say 2001: A Space Odyssey. But if we're saying space related, he's going to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Because what is Ryan if not someone who will always respond with a Spielberg answer?
Spielberg is awesome.
Nikhat Jara responded with 2009 Star Trek.
Alright, because why not?
Because Damien needs more Star Trek.
Lucky.
And my favorite response comes from @love_cinema Leslie. I'm ruining that name. Who says
her name's probably Kimberly.
Susan.
who responds with what I believe is great, one of the greatest films of all time, Ridley Scott's Alien.
I like Alien.
I can't stop. That's one of those movies where that would be a movie that when it's on TV I have to watch. It's great.
If we're going with space related, as with Ryan, can we just say the Predator? Because yo, that movie's awesome.
There's some space shit in that.
They come from space.
Predator ass shit in that movie. I like the Predator. It's pretty good.
Love that movie. I'm actually really sad that I don't have nostalgia goggles for that. I wish that I had seen that when I was a child.
You'll never have what I have.
Exactly. Like, I love that movie, but imagine how much more enhanced it would be if I loved that movie when I was 10 or when I was 5. Like,
yeah, I saw that
oh
movie
my goodness.
Way before I should have seen
yeah,
that
of
movie.
Course.
Just so no small child should watch that.
Space related E.T.
I know that I watched that. Essentially, maybe not when it came out, because I think it may have come out before
I was
born.
It was 82.
Exactly. But way early, I don't really remember that movie. I remember things like E.T. Go Home, but I don't remember. I cannot put it together as a solid narrative in my head.
You know what? I don't care. Fuck, that movie is terrible. Fucking shitty movie.
I remember the first time I talked about this on this podcast, and Damon was like, "What?
Fuck,
we did it." I talked about it on the top 10 of all time list that we did.
What?
And Damon, like, I brought it out of nowhere, and Damon was like, "You've never
movie,
spoken about this
and movie, that
Andrew."
That movie fucking good. That movie sucks. Goddamn nonsense. Fuck you, Andrew.
You
hear me?
Okay, So, with this weekend gone by of us getting
drunk? No, sorry. Wait, sorry.
No, I wasn't drunk. what I'm considering the best X-Men movie of the franchise.
Nope.
Either best or second best. I'm not sure. I haven't watched First Class in a while.
I'm going to move this coin.
First Class.
Right? I am going to move. It doesn't have. Going to move the coin.
But Days of Future Past. That movie's awesome. That movie's fantastic.
And the thing about those series of movies, which I like, and I mean, let's be clear, there are bad movies in this franchise.
Oh yes. All the
Wolverines. Ratner.
It's fairly obvious that for the most part, the movies did what they had to do, which was decide that all the movies were about Wolverine.
Yep.
Right? And I kind of like it for the most part. But I'm kind of curious, if you were able to redraft these movies mm-hmm. and refocus it on a different mutant mm-hmm. as the crux of every film in this franchise, who would you want it to be on?
I'm gonna go with 10-year-old Douglas, who thought.
And of course, you can't pick Wolverine.
Well,
oh, what?
shit, you fucked me then. Like, how is that not? Anyway, so I'm going to go with 10-year-old Douglas,
mm-hmm.
who, when he watched X-Men cartoons, when he read all the X-Men comics, he was all about Cyclops. Cyclops was the man, and even kind of adding to my weight of my argument is the fact that I absolutely adore James Marsden whenever he's trying to be funny. So let's make X-Men into a romantic comedy about Cyclops and Jean, please. Yes, that would work wonders.
Do I get to cast?
What just happened, Noel?
Do I get to cast Jean with Elizabeth Banks?
Did he just turn a perfectly good answer into garbage?
Yeah, I like to do that. I like to do that.
Pretty sure that's what just
happened. But yeah, I used to love Cyclops, so I'd go with Cyclops.
You know what I'd be interested in seeing? I'd be interested in seeing a Beast version of.
Never been a big fan of the Beast. Never been.
Guys, there's a character that turns into a phoenix.
Jean Grey.
Just have her lose her mind and start murdering people for like 3 movies. I'd watch that.
I'm actually disappointed in Andrew. Or has Andrew not given his response yet? Andrew, have you responded?
Mm-hmm.
How is your response not Mystique? If for the only reason
that I get more Jennifer exactly. Lawrence movies.
It probably wasn't a question. That is not the question that he asked. Right?
Can I cast Jennifer Lawrence as Beast?
Right.
She's used to being in blue.
Right.
I'm fine with gender changing the role.
She can be the Phoenix. Let's change Jennifer Lawrence.
Can we cast Jennifer Grey. Lawrence
as
all, Cyclops?
All
and
the female characters.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Beast. He's one of the more interesting characters I find, and mainly because, unlike most of the mutants, he's smart.
Actually, can I tell you? You know who? What would really be an interesting X-Men movie? Is a movie centered almost solely around Magneto. That would be like the dark side of the mutants.
Every single X-Men movie. All of them.
Nope.
If Wolverine is in there, it means Magneto is in there. Which means he...
No, but Magneto is always a sideshow.
He's the guy who pops up to go, fucked up shit, now
exactly.
Go and fix it.
What if the whole movie was fucked up shit?
You mean X-Men First Class? You mean that movie?
Yeah, no, First Class was very
First
much...
First Class had more of him.
Yes.
But it was very much a...
Mostly
a shared,
about
it was no, it was a shared thing between him
that
and
movie
Xavier.
Started and ended with him.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, First Class was pretty much
pretty
a Magneto.
Much
if I had to give it a scale, it's very shared, but I think we would scale it more to Magneto than
well,
to Xavier.
And you know what too is that I don't here's probably why I don't count it that way. Because what in my head I was thinking Dark Magneto. And for a lot of that movie, Magneto, maybe he wasn't, you know, carefree. But he wasn't like this guy was that was just like, you know what? Fuck the world. I want Magneto after he's said fuck the world.
Has proved that they cannot do it by themselves. We need to keep the X-Men together. And not break them out and make separate movies because no one wants
well,
to see
them. I think what Wolverine has proved is that you can do it. You just can't do it.
Well.
Exactly. You can't do it and make a good movie. You can do it and make money, but not a good movie.
I'll sit here quietly as you guys continue. Because I'll still say I really like Wolverine.
I'm sure you do.
I like bad things too.
Yeah. There are also things that I don't. I just can't admit to myself that aren't good that I like. But yeah, X-Men is one of those that I can admit.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
So the game is back. Andrew is still leading by one mark, although
you didn't duck
should have ducked Douglas some points
for Inland,
for picking Inland just on principle.
So for the people just jumping in,
right,
why don't you just give a quick explanation as
sure
to the game.
I say three movies and my colleagues will try to rank those three movies in order of money made. I usually give them a hint to what year it was, but I'm not going to do that this week because we're running long on time. You can guess the year, won't make a difference.
Okay.
Because you're always wrong. Except for Douglas, it's 2004 for life.
For life? Wait, hold on, we don't have a period?
Yes, it is our time. It's the 90s.
Oh, this is the 90s, okay.
But the last time I did video games and both of you looked at me like I've lost my mind.
Oh, so there are no hints at all anymore?
No hints.
Well, the year doesn't matter either, yeah. So...
Well, the year doesn't... What?
You just said that.
No, you can still guess the year. I'm still going to ask you to guess the year. I'm just not going to give you any hints.
Oh, right. Exactly. Right. And you still get points 2 points if you get the
oh,
year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood you,
yes,
sir.
You did.
I understand. I'm very sorry.
Exactly. You see, that's what happens sometimes, and it gets me upset.
Mm-hmm.
When I understand something, and then in Andrew's misunderstanding of it, he makes me not understand anymore.
Sure. I try my best.
And then it takes me like a good half an hour to be like, hold on.
No, it's fine. God damn it. Did it again. Yes. Ignorant mom.
3 points to Andrew.
Alright. So who would like to start? Douglas, you're behind. You should probably start.
Okay.
2004 for life.
I've learned every time that I pipe up, I want to start, he doesn't let me. So yeah. I'm just going to be quiet.
Andrew, would you like to start? Douglas. Your three movies are
2004
For Life, 12 Monkeys.
Oh, nice.
Outbreak.
Uh-huh.
And Species.
Wow, all monkey movies. The
three
year of the monkey.
About monkeys and science.
You know, sad is I actually remember this year quite vividly, but I'm not sure if I can pin it down. Let me see.
These are all 90s.
This year, I'm going to guess with 93.
Nope.
No.
1998?
No. Oh. No. It's
95.
I don't know why I felt
it's right in the middle. Okay. Yep. All right.
And now to rank them. 12 Monkeys, Outbreak, and Species.
Species is... Oh, no. That's not Monkeys. That's Natasha Henstridge,
that's
right?
Alien
that
Nonsense.
Her name is? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm going to
Aliens
go
and
with...
Science.
I think 12 Monkeys did all right. I'm pretty sure Outbreak probably won...
Mm-hmm.
Would Species be 12 Monkeys though?
Species.
Because 12 Monkeys, very few Terry Gilliam movies work, but I think that one kind of broke through and became a movie that people liked. So I'm gonna go with Outbreak number 1, 12 Monkeys number 2, and Species number 3.
You are incorrect.
Damn.
Andrew Robinson.
It's 12 Monkeys, Species, and Outbreak, right?
Yes.
I'm going in that order. 12 Monkeys, Species, and Outbreak.
You are incorrect.
Mm.
Outbreak made 67 million.
I thought Outbreak flopped completely.
Species made 60 million.
And then 12
and
Monkeys
then 12
after
Monkeys
that.
Made
yeah.
million.
Yeah, I knew Outbreak would have to be a number one because that was Andrew. That movie was all over the place. But
we made 7 million more than Species.
It all seemed like
Terry Gilliam don't make money generally.
No, I know that.
So,
but
yeah.
I thought this was a low balling he was giving us. Where he was like, these are all 20 million movies.
We made money. Speaking of low balling, Andrew, your movies are Lost in Space, Spice World, and Shakespeare in Love. Three movies I hate with fiery passion.
So that's 1998.
Fine.
And I don't think I've said this to you guys, but I actually went to the theater to watch Spice World.
I too went to the theater to watch. I was going to ask you guys to guess which one of these movies I went to the theater
to see. I don't remember
doing
that. Did you not go with me? Did I go with you?
Christopher, our neighbor, wanted to see that movie so badly. He asked me to go with him.
Blame Christopher.
And I fell asleep. That was the first movie I ever fell asleep in the theater watching.
Christopher, wherever you are, I'm sorry. Andrew has thrown you under the bus.
So yes, what were these movies? Spice World?
Spice World, Lost in Space, and Shakespeare in Love.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger.
This sounds like all flop movies, and then an Oscar winner. So,
all right,
to me. So I'm going to hope for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm playing this game.
Fine.
Hoping for humanity. Shakespeare in Love, which I keep telling myself I need to rewatch, is number one. Spice World. What's the other one? It's Lost in Space. Spice World and Lost in Space.
Incorrect, sir.
Danger, Will Robinson, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by. Wait, Spice World
and Lost in Space. Spice World and Lost in Space and Shakespeare in Love.
Alright, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna bet against the world.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in Space, Spice World, Shakespeare in Love.
You're also wrong. Andrew's actually closer though.
Aww.
Humanity. He just picked the wrong part of humanity to believe in. Shakespeare in Love made $100 million. Lost in Space made $69 million, and the Spice World movie made a whopping $29 million.
I knew that one bombed. I knew that one bombed.
Right? Oh. You should have just believed this. The world would never allow themselves to watch Spice World. And you'd have
but there
right.
wasn't a Lost in Space 2, so.
Yeah, because it's also terrible. Just like
that
Shakespeare
usually,
in Love.
That usually doesn't stop movies.
Yeah, that's true. They're all bad movies. Douglas Robinson, it is your turn. This movie, this, the hint for this is nothing. This is my black people make movies category.
Oh, wow.
The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Ooh, I remember watching that movie.
Bulletproof.
Oh my god, I remember watching that
and
movie
don't
too.
Don't Be a Menace to
Society. Oh Jesus! Oh my word! Alright, I know Don't Be a Menace was out when I was just going into high school. I'm going to guess again with 90. Should I do that one or the year after? You know what?
Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
Fuck it. If I try this year 10 times, I must at least get it right once. Is it 1993?
No.
I thought he was going to say 94 for life.
I almost went with 94.
92.
Which year was this?
1996.
Wow.
Weren't even close.
Wow.
Douglas Robinson, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Bulletproof, and Don't Be a Menace to Society.
Alright, I'd go with Don't Be a Menace, Bulletproof, followed by A Long Kiss Goodnight.
You are incorrect.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson.
I'm going to go Bulletproof, Long Kiss Goodnight, Don't Be a Menace.
You're all bad people. The Long Kiss Goodnight was clearly the best movie of the bunch and made the most money. $33 million. Bulletproof made $21 million, and Don't Be a Menace made $20 million.
Wait, so did Andrew just get it right?
No, he was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
I was wrong.
As usual. Alright.
I try hard.
It is now Andrew's turn.
I'm like Bill Paxton.
You're going to stop. If Andrew gets the year wrong, I'm going to poison him. Wild Wild West.
Yeah. I don't remember the
American
end.
Pie.
Mm-hmm.
And Double Jeopardy.
Oh, Double Jeopardy. Oh, I think I just threw up.
All three of these movies are horrific. They're so bad. So bad.
Shit.
When was Cisco popular? Only happened for 1 year.
1998?
You motherfucker. Douglas, what is the year?
Of this movie?
Yes.
Wild Wild West?
Mm-hmm.
I would go with probably 97.
You motherfucker.
No, that's wrong.
1999.
I couldn't
before the world was supposed to end.
You see, that's the thing. I know that's around when Cisco was famous, but I remember the Wild Wild West being way earlier than that. No? 99? Seriously? 99. I was a moron even that late.
Yup.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You
so right, we're left with Wild Wild West,
American Pie, and Double Jeopardy.
American Pie, Double Jeopardy, Wild Wild West.
Not even close. Son.
So American Pie, Double Jeopardy, Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. I would go with. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Wild West followed by American Pie followed by that last one.
Nope.
No.
Double Jeopardy won.
Really?
What?
116 million.
What?
Wild Wild West was second and American Pie.
I remember American Pie being a huge success.
Yes, well, it made $102 million. It just didn't make more than Double Jeopardy. Which
what happened to
I'm like, are you guys sure Double Jeopardy made $106 million? That's impossible.
Yeah. And American Pie, I remember that was part one. Mm-hmm. And people had to be like, really?
That no, I remember. Worked? I remember it being the Paranormal Activity kind of story where they did that, but it was like amazing numbers in it was on a comparison thing where they're like, we made this for $5.
Yeah, this movie didn't even cost money. Pretty sure we're going to get sued. Douglas, it is now question 5. You guys have gotten 4 questions wrong.
2004 for life.
Coneheads. Adam's Family Values.
Ooh.
And Homeward Bound.
I remember
The Incredible Journey.
Wow.
Deep cut.
Yep.
My goodness.
I think I watched that on Disney so many times.
Yeah, we watched that.
And Michael J. Fox voiced one of the dogs.
Yes. I think we had it on video cassette at one point.
I think you and everybody else in the world.
Alright, so Coneheads.
Mm-hmm. Adam's Family Values.
I'm kind of happy that I don't think it's CG's fault, but I'm kind of happy that film as a storytelling medium is past putting voices onto animals, like filmed animals,
except for all of those cat and dog movies.
No, but those are done now. They're done now. They're not happening anymore. I don't think so.
I'm going to go with 92.
Nope.
What year was this?
Andreas has to guess first.
94.
93.
Of course, the one time that Douglas says, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go with a different number. So you said what? Homeward Bound.
Coneheads. And Adam's Family Values.
Alright, Family Values was the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no third movie.
Goddamn right.
But I'm not sure. That could just be because Raul Julia died.
So that is also true.
That's a possibility.
He did die.
Yeah.
And he can't replace talent like that, can he?
they tried, though.
Yeah.
What?
They tried, though.
There was a third one. I don't remember if it was a direct-to-video or if it was theatrical, but Tim Curry played.
He was in
I did not know that.
He was in Street Fighter and then murdered himself.
I did not know that.
No, that's a never.
I don't know if it was theatrical or straight to video, though. So.
I would imagine it's straight to video. Anything Tim Curry does at this point.
Or at that point.
Yeah. At any point after like the 80s.
Just at any point.
Alright, so there's Adam's Family. Homeward Bound was Disney, though.
Yes, sure. Damn right. And Coneheads. Seminal works.
I remember Coneheads was this thing. Like, everybody loved it. Because of SNL,
but it's an SNL
movie. Exactly. I remember SNL movies. I don't think generally do well, but they have this sort of notoriety to them. So I'm going to go with the default choice of Disney number one.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for Homeward Bound, followed by probably Adam's Family Values, followed by Coneheads. No? Okay.
I'm going to go Adam's Family, Homeward Bound, and Coneheads.
Andrew finally scores a point. Congratulations.
Douglas did me some legwork for me.
Okay, it's Andrew's turn, I'm assuming.
94 for life.
Makilos is with me. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, I know that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Two.
And Star Trek VI.
Oh, Prince of Thieves.
That's the one with Kevin Costner. Which I've never seen.
Of course you have. I don't remember it then. But
and like, Star Trek VI.
I thought
94.
The Undiscovered Country?
That's way too late.
Okay, he's wrong.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Prince of Thieves came out really early. I would go with even 1990.
You are incorrect. What? 1991.
There we go. Yeah, I'm close.
So we have Prince of Thieves, we have Star Trek VI.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Three of these movies have been remade since. All three of them. Only took them 23 years.
Shit, this all looks bad to me. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Prince of Thieves, Star Trek.
Not even close.
Which Star Trek is this?
Six. The sixth Star Trek movie.
I just know the rule.
The sixth one.
I just know the rule is before these new Star Trek movies, even numbers are good.
Yeah.
Odd numbers are bad. I don't know which Star Trek is which, other than two is Khan.
So, Prince of Thieves, as far as I can recall, broke the... just the world with how much people flock to that movie. So I'm gonna go that as number one. So Prince of Thieves, followed by what was that again? Star Trek and what? Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was
the second one?
The second one. All right, I'm gonna go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles second, and then Star Trek.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Prince of Thieves made $165 million.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles made $78 million. That's the second one, and then Star Trek made $74 million.
I just remember Prince of Thieves only as people laugh at it years later.
So bad.
So I don't remember much. Like as I said, this is a long time ago, and we actually went. But what I do remember vividly, because I thought it was the funniest thing in the world, is there's a point in Prince of Thieves where I think it's Kevin Costner himself. He flips a coin and he says, "Heads, I win. Tails, you lose." And I was like, "What?"
That
means that he always wins. Yeah. And that's just stayed with me for all of my life.
You know the important thing.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it? It's your turn, right, Andrew?
Yep.
No, it's my turn. It's because I just guessed that thing right.
Oh, yeah, you did. You got the year wrong, though. Cause why not?
No, he got the year wrong.
Cause
we both got it wrong.
Cause I know what you did last summer. The Devil's Advocate.
Oh wow, that
nice
movie.
And Scream Part 2.
Alright. Four and
the
three
worst year
seven
of all time.
Directed by Robert Rodriguez.
97.
Okay, you got it right. Now put them in order.
Remind me of the movies again.
Stop
please
using IMDb. I know what you did last summer. The Devil's Advocate.
Wait, I know what you did last summer. The first movie?
I know what you did last summer.
Okay.
The Devil's Advocate
and
Scream 2.
Okay, I'm gonna go with... no, right. This movie is definitely for me the decision is what's number one. I think I'm probably going to go with Scream Part 2, Devil's Advocate, followed by I Know What You Did.
Incorrect.
Oh, fuck.
Andrew.
One time I finally get the year.
I'm going to go Scream, Know What You Did, and then Devil.
Andrew's right.
Yeah.
I was hoping that you guys would think that I Know What You Did made more money than Scream, because it was cribbing hard of Screams.
Scream, there are like 20 Scream movies.
Yeah, but this
is
the second
one.
Yeah.
Alright, whose turn is it? Andrew's turn.
Ghost. I'm Mr. Meeseeks.
Ghost.
Oh, I know this.
Dancing with Wolves. And Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. I barely remember Pretty Woman, to be honest.
I need to check this quick. I think I have something wrong here.
Yeah, that sounds...
No, not the year. That is not what is wrong. I think I'm
Dances with Wolves, Pretty Woman, mm-hmm. and... what's the other one?
Ghost.
Have we done 97? I think that's 97.
There's only one year this could be Andrew. Are you guessing 97?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
The only year that this could be, I'm just going to take 97 as your guess,
yeah.
is 1990. This movie is like... These movies are borderline 80s movies, Andrew. how did you not just...
Ghost. Yeah, you're right. From Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have something wrong.
So, Dance with Wolves, Ghost, and... what was the last one?
Pretty Woman.
Oh, shit. These all are very popular, I would assume, to be really
good. God damn right. So much fucking
money. I'm going to... I'm going to do what society should always do and just assume that women rule the world.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Pretty Woman, Ghost, Dance with the Wolves.
Douglas Robinson, you're shaking your head over there like you know the answers.
I feel like it's wrong, but I'm not sure. Is it right or is it wrong?
He's wrong. That's why I turned to you.
So, listen.
You have to
remember, Andrew, Kevin Costner rules the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who was in Dances with Wolves?
And he directed it.
Kevin Costner. Right. Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. So remind me, are the three Pretty Woman, Dances with Wolves, and Ghost?
Yeah.
Alright, I think Pretty Woman is going to come last here.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Dances with Wolves, followed by Ghost, because Patrick Swayze.
The Swayze.
Come on. Followed by Pretty Woman.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
That's what you get for betting against the Swayze. Ghost made $270
I told you, $1 million.
Women
moving on.
Dancing with Wolves made $184
No, I know that. I made a lot of money, which is why. Yeah.
And Pretty Woman made $174
No, I'm not that far off. They're all big movies.
I think both of us are pretty close.
Big movies.
It's just decided.
Right. You guys bet against the Swayze.
Yeah.
And you done fucked up.
Well, I got close. I like to think I got close. So.
All right. In theory. Douglas, this is another year of straight up racism. All right.
So,
White Men Can't Jump.
1942.
Best movie ever. I love that
Malcolm
movie.
X and the Sister Act.
Oh, okay.
Sister Act!
So that would be 90... Okay. Oh, no. Kirby's there already. So this would be 92.
I like how he's doing math. Yes, it's 1992.
Remind me what movies are Sister Act.
White Men Can't Jump, Malcolm X, and Sister Act.
I really love White Men Can't Jump.
I'm going to go with Malcolm X, followed by Sister Act, followed by White Men Can't Jump.
Nope.
Okay.
Sister Act, Malcolm X, White Men.
Nope.
Ah, shit.
Sister Act did win $140 million. White Men Can't Jump came second with $76 million.
Shit.
And Malcolm X made $48 million.
What?
Not even close.
So you're saying racism won?
As usual. Whoopi Goldberg's racist ass won again. And the final question.
Curiosity. Being who you are and a big comedy fan, like, did you ever go back to Whoopi Goldberg? Was she ever funny in stand-up?
No.
Okay. Because I don't really remember her doing stand-up.
She is like...
I have seen some of her
stand-up.
She's
the antithesis of funny.
You see, let me tell you. The thing about Whoopi Goldberg... that
she's
loud. I know a lot of people like this about her. And I can't really... As we all say, right? Something especially funny is always going to be subjective. But the thing that I have a problem with Whoopi Goldberg about is... I think she thinks she's funnier than she is. And I think that when she's trying to be funny, she also feels like it's her duty to mean something as well. And those two things just don't gel
never
for
the
me.
Two,
right? So she tries to pretend like she's doing something good for, say, black people or just some person.
Like,
and
she was very loud and she dressed like a lunatic.
Yeah.
So she was... Literally.
Well, it was the 90s. Everyone dressed like a lunatic. So
no one more than Whoopi. So she was a laughing stock, but she was loud enough and didn't care enough that everyone did. All right.
And it's sad because I remember when I was young, and I'm sure it was probably just because our parents loved Whoopi Goldberg, or at least at some point, that I was like, you know what? I want to watch every Whoopi Goldberg movie because they're all good.
And then you
have watched all of them that I loved before, and I'm like, no, Whoopi Goldberg sucks.
She was in Ghost, though.
She was in Ghost.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
One, that wasn't a comedy.
And
two, she was not the star.
And three, that movie isn't that great.
That movie is great.
You are high and drunk. That movie's 14 hours. And a woman dances with a...
Patrick Swayze.
The premise of that movie is...
Patrick Swayze
is
in that movie.
Listen, I am never, ever going to speak down to the Swayze. However, the premise of that movie is...
The guy who started Roadhouse.
Right, question number 10 and the final question. My three favorite movies of this year. Three Shawshank movies. Redemption, Time Cop, and The Specialist.
And what was the last one?
The Specialist.
I don't even know what that movie is.
Sylvester Stallone plays a hitman.
Oh, yeah.
Is
that the one with Antonio Banderas?
Yes.
Wasn't and Julianne Moore, right?
Wasn't that Assassin, Stallone and Antonio Banderas?
Specialist is the name
of
the movie.
I remember.
He's a bomb specialist.
That can't be Twitim with the Twitim together.
Listen to
Shit.
Me. You're
anyway,
all
so
forgetting
you.
That Time Cop came
out. Can I get a point if I guess this when he gets it wrong?
Yeah, he will get this wrong. Sure, I'll give you a point. A free point.
What year is it?
You motherfucker.
The second time in a row he's done this. Is 94.
Yeah, it's Shawshank Redemption.
I
said
don't
it.
Remember here.
Douglas gets our point.
He's a man of his word. So we're talking Shawshank,
Time Cop.
Specialist, and Time Cop.
Time Cop. I love the 90s so much. There's a movie called Time Cop.
Starring Jean-Claude.
I remember that movie.
Good
I don't think I've
God
ever watched that movie
Zary
properly.
I've never seen
because
it.
When it came out, we were a little
Jesus
young and people were concerned. And I think we watched like a half a second.
I would have been 8 years
old.
Like,
huh?
But I'm going to go ahead and hope for humanity,
Jesus
like
Lord.
How I always tend to do. And I'm going to go ahead and say Shawshank number one.
Time Cop number two.
Time Cop number two. And Specialist number three.
Okay, so please remember this is 1994.
Yes, and Time Cop.
This is the
you
year
are 11
of
years old.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The Time
and
Cop.
Sylvester Stallone.
God damn it.
And all of those. So the question is not, is Shawshank whatever? The question is not. The question is, did Van Damme beat Stallone? That's the question, right?
Did Van Damme beat Stallone, Douglas?
And I think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay,
so
you are...
I'm going to go with
Specialist.
Time Cop, number
time.
One.
Okay. And Specialist 2.
There was something special about Shawshank, though, you know.
Yeah.
It did win awards.
Yeah, the whole world loves it.
The whole world does love it. All right, I'm going to go against my better judgment. I'm going to put Shawshank at number 2. And then I'm going to put the Specialist / Assassins at number 3.
Well, I looked it up a while ago.
Oh, am I right?
You're so wrong.
Oh, wow.
Jean-Claude did not beat Stallone. Stallone won with 57
Stallone
million.
Stallone won.
Tiempo Cop came second.
Oh, shit.
At 44 million. Shawshank made $28 million.
So,
deadly, not even close.
So
I
guess
you
if I remember correct, then we are still 1 point apart. Did we... both only make 1 point today?
Andrew had 2 points legitimately. You got
really?
1 point legitimately.
Oh, wow.
But I'm giving you one for him getting Shawshank wrong. For the second time we've been doing this. This is the second time he has got it wrong. We've done this for 5 weeks. He's gotten it wrong twice.
I wonder what our listeners think of this. Like, this is fun for you and for all of us because... we're stupid. But something tells me that this doesn't translate into an entertaining, entertaining time.
Every time I listen to this, because I make these questions, and while I'm listening to the podcast, of course I don't have it in front of me, so I have to still guess to see if I can remember what one wrong like half the time. Like wait, wait a second. Blue.
rain. When we kissed goodbye and part, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like dying ember.
But what do you reckon you're gonna do?
I don't know, man. I'll probably end up signing it. I just don't want to give in so easy.
Man, it's the same bullshit they tried to pull in my day. You know, if it ain't that piece of paper, some other choice they're gonna try and make for you. You gotta do what Randall Pink Floyd wants to do, man. Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules are gonna try to get you to follow. You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
So this week, inspired with having Otis chop off many people's heads, we are going to be talking about our top five Matthew McConaughey films.
Just so that everyone knows, the next dog I have will be named Otis. Do not be surprised when you hear me speaking about Otis biting people, okay?
No, demons.
Right. Demons. He only attacks demons.
If he attacks you, you're a demon and you deserve to be attacked. So, I guess I should start it off.
Why not?
My top five Matthew McConaughey films. And my number five is...
Interstellar, which is incredibly...
I will continue to consider the beginning of what people are dubbing the McConaissance. Which, I'm sorry, Damon, I'm sure you hate hearing it. I kind of like that. I'm okay with that title.
Well, it's like a play on words. Ah, you guys are clever.
Yes, we are. We're very clever. We're the internet. We are where pentaflops occur.
Douglas, can you explain what's happening here?
And it is the moment in which he reminded us that everyone needs a G5. And it is Tropic Thunder.
Well done.
Because... friends get a TiVo.
Because Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Because you don't have to justify that. Because Tropic Thunder. My number five is the one with the Sam Jacksons. It's not They Deserve to Die and I Hope They Burn in Hell. Oh wait, it is They Deserve to Die.
That is actually a movie which I know I've seen, but I barely remember it other than that line. Barely remember that movie.
I'd like to thank Chappelle for letting everybody know why that movie's awesome. Sam Jackson being just peak Sam Jackson. And Matthew McConaughey is in there somewhere.
Yep. Okay, so my number five, I'm just going to go with Bernie. I like that movie a lot. And he's kind of good in it.
So I have a fun story about Bernie. I was home and I told my mother and sister, watch Bernie, right? And you know, none of you guys like Jack Black, because of course you don't, but he's really good in this. And so of course that movie starts really slow. He's like you know, cleaning up the dead bodies and whatnot, and it takes like a good 15-20 minutes before the like the movie gets into full swing. It's just people talking about how quiet and nice Bernie was, and you know, the things he did for the town or whatever. And both of them, like 10 minutes in, they're like, you need to change this movie now. This movie is boring. Fuck this movie. And just, and they gave me so much shit for, because every time they wanted to say that I watch bad movies, they point to Bernie, right? For whatever, I'm like, you know what? I'll never, ever give you guys any suggestions ever again. They, instead of watching Bernie, they watch Salt, the Angelina Jolie shitty action movie from a couple of years back. They enjoyed that, and when Bernie's nonsense. Recently, my aunt came over, and she was talking of Bernie, and so of course, they watched Bernie on Netflix. And no one would say, I saw that someone watched Bernie on Netflix. I went, oh, word? So my sister is at work, so it wasn't she.
you too though, watch Birdie to the end, because Netflix shows me where.
How'd you like that Birdie?
Right, and just shame. Like, alright, Damien, fine. So you tell me for 2 years you guys give me shit about a movie that you actually like. Thank you, you're all welcome. Remind me never to speak to you.
By the way, remind me. It was Linklater that directed Bernie, right?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. I like Linklater a lot.
So, they gave me so much. Just hell. Right. Like, they remember the one in their suggestions.
It is part of the hell of loving movies.
My family should know better. They should take my advice. Except when I tell them to watch Montreal movies. They should never ever do that. My mother loves Dogville. And she wants to see more movies from him.
Breaking
and I'll go, no,
Breaking the Waves.
I said, Mommy, I know.
She likes Dogville.
Yeah.
Breaking the Waves is kind of in that. Yeah, you can put Breaking the Waves. You can also give her Melancholia. That one works too. Yeah.
Just pump up Antichrist.
You see, that's the thing. I don't think Antichrist is on a different level, right?
Visually, it's on a different level.
Exactly.
The weird part of Dogville was this whole stage thing. Like the story that he was telling was a straightforward, simple story.
But remember, the story has all of the dark portions of Antria as well. Right. You have slavery. You have
yes, Douglas.
Rape. You have all sorts of naughty things.
All of that. There's a logical and slow, more importantly, slow progression through all of that. A movie's 3 hours long, and you work your way through all of that.
Take her.
His other movies, you start at the dark. It is dark at the beginning, and it just delves further and further. And I don't see it happening. But she wants to see them. And I'm afraid.
Just press play on Antichrist and walk away.
I still want her to love me. So,
So my number four. It goes to a film that people went batshit crazy for.
Surfer Dude!
And don't get too shit twisted. I enjoyed that movie when I saw that movie back when.
I don't know if there's a McConaughey movie that I have watched that I don't like. I like him.
There are a good amount.
Oh, you want to play this game?
I'm sure you can find some. I'm just saying that the ratio is in his favor.
And
right, like Sahara.
Yeah.
And Two for the Money.
Alright, stop. Let's not go anymore. Let's not go any further.
Well, actually, I can't remember which one Two for the Money is. But
that's the gambling one with Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah, that one was bad.
Word?
Yeah.
What's bad?
Failure
to Launch?
I forgot who the young person was in that movie. I know it was Al Pacino and a young person. I forgot it was McConaughey. So, yes, my number four. My number four is a movie which people lost their goddamn minds over. And it's rightfully so, because like if you hadn't gotten on board yet with Matthew McConaughey being a fantastic actor, this movie proved the fact that he's downright amazing and he's going to continue. But at the same time, when I thought about it in a sense of ranking his movies, I don't really think it's the top, which is why it's so low on my list. And it's last year's Dallas Buyers Club.
Mick Mike.
I thought you were going with another one. Okay. From around, well, not quite the same time.
You thought it was this year?
No.
No?
Okay.
No. It's a pretty good movie, and McConaughey is fantastic.
So I'll leave it as
and oddly enough, I remember it played at TIFF last year, and I was annoyed because I remember looking at the picture, and it was a picture of McConaughey like on the vehicle, and I didn't know it was him, which is why I didn't pick that movie to watch at TIFF. Like, I saw the picture, and I was like, no, whatever.
I remember I was so upset that
no bueno.
I was so upset that I got the ticket to go to the viewer's choice, but the viewer's choice was 12 Years and not Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, you still don't like 12 Years, do you?
I need to watch it again, but you that's just
like
not my. I have a big bias against.
Right, we spoke
it,
about
so,
this already.
Yeah.
So yes. My number four is Mud.
There we go. That's the movie I thought he was about to pull out of his hat.
I love that movie.
That movie is amazing.
That movie is real simple. Real, just if, like, you know how I always say that nothing happens in movies mm-hmm. as like a negative mm-hmm. to most movies, except this one. But if someone throws that in my face, I'll have zero defense.
Really,
it also has two kids with two of the best nicknames. When I have a son, I'm going to call him Neckbone. Because of course I'm going to call him. He'll have a real name, I'm sure, but I won't remember it. He'll just be Neckbone.
His real name will be Neck. And just like how you know you've got T-Bone, right. His name is Neckbone.
Right. T-Bone. Neckbone White.
Exactly.
Sure, why not?
So, my list, right? Mm-hmm. I've decided, because it's going to be hard for us to find 15 movies, 15 distinct and separate movies to put in our top 10 for Matthew McConaughey. And I've decided I'm going to take a different tack, and I'm sure, actually, I know that at least one of them have already been picked, but I'm not going to do any audibles. So let's forget the last movie for a moment. That movie I just picked because I like that movie, but the rest of these movies are specific. I've picked them not necessarily because the movie is great, which some of them are and some of them aren't. I've picked them specifically for Matthew McConaughey and the character that he played in each of these movies. Because that's the thing about this guy. This guy is just so... He has so much character. He steps onto the screen and you're like, yes, please. More of this. Right? So
more nonsense.
Exactly. So, my number four pick.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, yes. Actually, I've never watched that movie. But...
Seminal work.
My number four pick.
I actively ran away from that movie.
My number four pick is The Wolf of Wall Street. And he's not in this movie for very long. He's
13 seconds.
About that.
He has one scene. He has two scenes.
Yeah. And again, right? So
he's in it almost as long as Spike Jonze is in this movie.
Exactly. So... Not only is he probably one of the shining lights in this movie in terms of the cameo, or I really shouldn't call this a cameo, but the small appearances.
I'm Spike Jonze.
Is kind of the story behind how that appearance took place. And again, I have to thank Mr. Ryan McNeil for letting me know about this. So I was listening to his podcast, and apparently, here's how this went down. So this chest thumping thing, and I can't remember if I've ever said this before to you guys, but this chest thumping thing and this sort of humming business had absolutely nothing to do with the script. Apparently one day, this is how Matthew McConaughey psychs himself up to go on screen.
Are you kidding
me? I am so serious. And apparently one day, the whole, I don't know if it was a whole crew or if it was a Scorsese or whoever it was, saw him doing this and was like, what you doing there, Matt? And that was how it got onto the screen. They were just like, that's really cool, let's do that.
And then they got the whole of the
and they
world
got the whole of the world, yeah, yeah. The
that's amazing. That is amazing.
Want to meet Scorsese one of these days. Seems like a fun guy.
Morons. Right, my number three. And continuing with the movies that I feel best exemplify Matthew McConaughey, not just as an amazing actor, but as someone who loves to do fun roles and be fun and energetic and have these moments where you just can't stop loving him, even no matter what kind of a movie he's in. And I know you guys aren't the biggest fan of this movie, but I still really adore it. And it's Soderbergh's Magic Mike.
Fuck that movie.
But why? There was dancing. And one of the worst stories ever told.
And Channing Tatum.
Oh, right. The Channing and his Tatum.
McConaughey kind of just exudes the right amount of...
He's the reason to watch that.
Right. I mean,
for no other reason than to watch him in
I think movie. My favorite scene in that movie is the first time you see them, like, at the gym or whatever, right. It is. And he's kind of talking up the youngster to be like, you have to be like this. And he's kind of dancing around him. And you're like,
this is great. I love this version of McConaughey. And while we're going deeper and deeper into McConaughey being this more serious and more dark and dramatic actor, I hope we don't lose fun, energetic
actor. Don't worry. Next year he'll be in Magic Mike 2. So fair enough. It is my turn. The movie that I was going to pick has been said already. Yeah, it was Bernie. And so I will move on to complete nonsense. McConaughey and Batman was in a movie, Dragons.
Oh, yes. That was a movie I adored at the time.
Did you really?
I haven't watched it since. I don't want
people to get it.
And Leonidas is in that movie.
Yes, he is.
This movie is horrendous. But I saw it at the right time, and I will never watch it again. I will die with the memory of grown men fighting dragons.
Movie? Oh, yes, you said it, Batman. Yeah. Christian Bale is in this movie. Oh, my goodness.
That movie is so great. Just, I'm never going to watch it again.
Okay.
Save myself.
So, again, small roles, but big screen presence. Andrew,
glory days.
All of Matthew McConaughey's friends get TiVos. All right, and they travel in G5s. Tropic Thunder is just on its own. It's a great comedy, right? It is probably one of. It's probably the movie where if somebody says to you, I don't like Ben Stiller, you point them to that movie and you say, there is no way you cannot
and
like this
then
movie.
You watch Zoolander.
Exactly. Right? This movie is great on its own, but Matthew McConaughey's presence in this film and just, as you said, the way he kind of gets a role, sees that it's just, you know, this small thing, but he infuses it with all the fun and all of the just craziness that is this guy, and he makes it into something spectacular.
That movie,
and I love this movie, and I love him in this movie.
That movie was stolen by Tom Cruise. I want to think of that movie and think McConaughey, but I never do.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Is it weird that it still angers me slightly that when I watched that at the theater, they didn't play the fake trailers before the movie?
Oh, man. Andrew, I love that pussy.
I love the Robert Downey Jr. one the best, though. Booty sweat. Anyways, moving on down my list.
Christoph Waltz is in Horrible Bosses too, guys.
Is he the horrible boss?
I don't know.
If he's the horrible boss, that could work.
I'd imagine
to watch
so.
It though. Find out.
My number two movie is one of McConaughey's best, and it's also his film debut. Because Alright. It's a movie that took a while to grow on me, because something about the feel of that movie is very odd.
Yeah, honestly, the way that movie works is it kind of masquerades itself as an average movie. But they're just, you slowly have to be like, you know what?
And the thing about it is when you hear people talk about it, they talk about it in a very Lebowski sense.
Exactly.
Where everyone focuses on every tiny little joke so much because they love that movie so much.
Yep.
And I know I do the same thing for movies I found and adore.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way I talk about Scott Pilgrim. Like, I focus on the smallest of jokes. Because I've seen that movie so many times that I start to ignore the big joke and look at the tiny ones below it. And McConaughey is a character that everyone has lauded in that movie, being the infamous Wooderson. The character that everyone wants him to reprise in every movie. And even to this day, I keep making the joke that every movie and show I see him in, I wonder what would happen if Wooderson was to walk by that McConaughey character that's being played right now and just look at him and say the Wooderson type thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? And I await for my fantasies to come true.
So, Damien.
This is what, two?
Yeah.
Lincoln Lawyer.
You know, haven't watched that movie yet?
It's a good movie.
Okay.
I like him in it.
Yeah. As I said to you, I generally like his movies, so I'm sure...
It's one of those movies which you might be willing to take my approach to say it's a movie which aims for the middle,
mm-hmm.
but McConaughey is so good in it.
Awesome.
He's
awesome.
Really good in it. Which is why it's my number two.
Nice.
It's his second best, the second best acting, like actual acting that he's done.
Yeah. So, there's his joke, right? And I think it was fueled very much by his friends, specifically one Matthew Damon. I assume his full name is Matthew. Matt, for short. And the joke is that Matthew McConaughey likes to take his shirt off. And he, you know, it's kind of right. He does that in a lot of his movies, but he doesn't do it quite the way he does it in Magic Mike. Magic Mike is a horrendous movie. But as I keep saying, my list today is not about the movies. It's about the actor. And as you said, I mean, you couldn't have put it better, Andrew. And forget how much you love or dislike this movie. You have to watch this movie, if not for simply to see Matthew McConaughey be crazy. Right, and be this person who is taking his clothes off and dancing and kind of being charismatic guy with the ladies, and this guy's just great in this movie. he is the Matthew West of McConaughey's in this movie. It's just fantastic.
The less shirtiest.
Yes.
So my number one, we actually got a glimmer of what this one is about in 2008, when we saw the infamous film Surfer Dude. But more importantly, I'm cheating, motherfuckers.
Oh no, you cannot say that. It cannot be, because I was gonna mention my number five, and I'm like, no, I can't cheat. So you're not allowed to cheat.
I'm sorry, True Detective is a movie?
Exactly. Apparently,
pretty sure I said top five films.
I think so.
Fairly certain. I said films.
There's no way I'm leaving Russ Cole off.
Since we don't make it a common habit to review TV shows on this unnamed movie podcast. You
back
haven't changed the name
to the drawing board,
sell
son.
You a tornado podcast. Tornadoes for sale. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Guys, so, true some detectives.
That was a nice try. And I'm happy that you tried. But could you give me the answer, please?
It's the sequel to Surfer Dude. Because Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey come back together.
To punch
all right.
Mm-hmm.
My number one. I'm going to go for a movie which I'm not going to say it's the best, right? It probably mainly because I wanted to really say True Detective as my number one. Doesn't deserve to be number one. But it's a movie that I kind of really liked at the time, and I do associate it with Matthew McConaughey in a really good way. And it's back in his days of doing lots of generic romantic comedies. And this is a movie entitled MTV. Do you guys remember this?
I've never actually watched it properly, but I remember when it came out.
I actually really liked it. I even kind of
like
the TV spin-off show that they made
there
from it.
There was a TV spin-off show?
Yes, there was. It had I don't know the actor's name, but the guy who played the brother of Zach Braff in Scrubs, he came on, like, he wasn't a recurring character. He was a recurring character.
Stop. That you're talking about Ed, right?
Yeah.
That's not a TV version of the movie Ed TV.
Isn't it?
No.
It seems like it.
No. It is a TV show about a guy named Ed.
My
name is Ed.
No. Andrew, please.
He said it and it sounded believable.
Andrew, no. No.
I thought that.
Ed TV is about essentially reality TV. Ed is just a TV show. about a guy named
Ed. We're watching the TV show.
And I'm actually not even sure if his name was Ed.
It was Ed.
It was Ed? Okay.
My name is Ed.
But
anyways, but I really liked Ed TV at the time, and because you guys won't let me say the truest of detectives, Ed TV is number one.
Fuck you. So, my number one,
truest of detectives is
my
number one.
Is my number one because it has been burnt into my memory for time and all eternity. When I am dead, I remember very few movies in the afterlife. One of them is Amistad, because I've seen that movie, let's say, 100,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because February comes once a year. 3 years.
Didn't we skip it this year, though?
Sadly, no.
No.
And for years, when you don't have proper cable, you have a very narrow selection.
Yep.
And while I enjoyed throwing away 19 hours of my life watching Roots, I much preferred spending 2.5 hours watching Amistad over and over and over. And that is why, even when people
give
were mocking
us free,
even when people were mocking McConaughey, for being surfer dude guy, he was in Amistad. I remember him.
Yeah,
he was in that movie.
Yeah,
and then
it's clear what he did, because not just that movie, but also a movie that we spoke about A Time to Kill,
mm-hmm,
before. I remember when that movie came out and everybody was like, this guy, he has the potential. You know, he is great. I remember this was a time when I used to watch HBO, and I used to watch HBO behind the scenes, just like as a rule of thumb.
Because we didn't have anything
else. Of course, yeah. And I remember that the director, I cannot remember who directed this movie. But the director of the movie,
director of Amistad?
No, not Amistad. Of A Time to Kill.
Surfer dude, let's get this straight. We're always talking about surfer.
The director was
dude.
Like, you know, this new guy, Matthew McConaughey, he's so great. We were supposed to film this scene in the courthouse when they were doing the final argument one way. We were going to film the reaction of the jury, and we saw him act, and he was acting the shit out of this, and we're like, you know what, let's turn the cameras. So like, yeah, it was clear that early on people realized Matthew McConaughey knows what he's doing, and then McConaughey was like, okay, but let's just make some money first, and then I'll come back to this acting business. So it kind of clearly that's what
that
he did. So Damian,
yes.
Amistad is your number one.
Amistad is my number one. Yeah.
All right. So for me, my number one, it's very simple.
Because it's the best movie he was in.
Oh, okay.
Until Interstellar, then might change my mind.
I'm surprised Frailty hasn't hit either of your lists.
Well,
no, I like it, but it's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, and remember, for me especially, my movie is all about his characters. While he's kind of like the connecting factor or the connecting tissue of this movie, you don't see him a lot, you don't get to like him a lot. You know that way?
He wasn't the G5.
Exactly. Also, I try not to put the movie we're reviewing in the top 5. I don't like doing it. I know I've done it before.
Except Nebraska.
But I'm not a big fan of it. So, as I said, my top 5 is all about Matthew McConaughey characters. And there is no list of his characters where you cannot recognize this pillar, this zenith that he achieved very early in his career. And I think that it's kind of good that I start and end my list essentially on, you know, the same, at least the same director. And, you know, this movie brought us the iconic line of, I grow older, they stay the same age. And that would be Andrew's number 2, because he is a crazy person, Dazed and Confused. I love that movie today.
Let's take note.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the motto of a dirty old man. And Douglas is the oldest among us.
I'm the dirtiest.
Nah, agree. He's been at it longer than Douglas. You're trying to be a nice old man. And good luck with that. If I am not Gran Torino-esque by the time I hit that age, I have fucked up. I want to be as dirty and as old as possible. I'm through being young.
Okay.
Tired of it.
You're ready for the scallywag years.
Oh, Jesus. Scallywag years. 10 more. Douglas has 10 years until he can legally say scallywag. I'm a little more than 10 years.
But you just said scallywag.
I can't say it to people, though.
Oh, okay.
Can't say it here inside. Can't just go outside.
In safety.
Point to people. Call him that, I'll be shot. Doesn't work like that.
So anyways, I think that's pretty much the end of the show. Mm-hmm. We have nothing else to say, and I have no way of actually being good at segues. So I will continue to pretend as though I'm good at it.
The best segues.
As usual, you can hear the podcast over at gmailreviews.com. Douglas, you can find on Twitter at DJR Lost His Name.
Speaking of Twitter,
Damien is Damien at underscore White. And if you didn't know, he is reading tweets with the most monotone
underscore net
tone, lights. As you can hear right now.
With this summer's schedule, wouldn't it be easier if I just handed you my whole paycheck? Question mark.
Who are you following in Toronto?
And of course, I'm on Twitter at GMailReviews. Feel free to subscribe and rate the show over on iTunes as well as through Stitcher. Nothing else.
2004 for life! Someday
you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world did I do? I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy.